Do you know Miri Rodriguez? Do you know that name?
I don't.
Okay, she's been here in town at Dream Bank, American Family's Dream Bank, a couple of times. She works for Microsoft as a storyteller.
Oh.
And I've seen her a couple of times. She's very engaging, very interesting. And we were talking about big corporate brands and then very personal brands. And her face came to my mind because that's what she's doing. And let me just kind of dissect it a little bit, because you got Microsoft, which for years, you know, older guys like us, we know Microsoft is kind of the nuts and bolts, bits and, you know, ones and zeros, very techy, very not necessarily designed well, but it worked and you had to use it. But it always felt a little cold, a little bit Bill Gates as a Vulcan, you know, this does not compute. Everything seemed really logical, not necessarily emotional. Then with the fairly recent regime change at Microsoft, there's been a noticeable change away from the cold and the logical to the warming, human, engaging, personal thing. And Miri Rodriguez is one of the people they've actually hired to work under their corporate brand. But if you follow her on social, she's always bringing herself in. So it's like if she's serving you a dish, it's 50-50 Microsoft or maybe 60-40 Miri to Microsoft. And she's always playing with that mixture, but it's always there. You know, she's never out there talking about bullet points about software.
Yeah, yeah.
But she is talking about the power of storytelling.
Yes.
And guess who benefits from that story? Microsoft does.
I love that. And I have to find her information because I'd love to connect with what she's doing. Follow her on social, because one of my friends posted on social, hey, you need to check out Inside Bill's Brain. And it's a Netflix series about inside Bill Gates' brain. And what they do is they follow him and Melinda Gates around for like 7 or 8 episodes. And it has totally transformed my view of Bill Gates and Microsoft, because I had no idea. I knew the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation existed, but I had no idea what type of social good they do and the drive they have to do it. And it is why they weren't telling the story before.
Well, that's the thing. I'm sitting here kind of getting antsy.
That's exactly.
Because I want to say, that's funny, because Bill Gates had a brand and it was richest man in the world. You know, he's been the richest man several different times during his career in the world. You know, he's been very technical. He was one of those prodigy kids who went on the university mainframe at 2 a.m. in the morning so he could actually use the thing at age 14 or something. Don't know. So he had a brand, but it wasn't necessarily his authentically true brand. Yeah. It was a press release brand. It was stories heard second, third, fourth hand 25 years ago brand. And then he was quiet. And then the Melinda and Bill Gates Foundation came out and his personal brand started being truly revealed.
And, you know, it's interesting because for many people, you know, you look at the dichotomy of Steve Jobs versus Bill Gates, you know, because it really represents in so many ways the different ways these two huge corporations were viewed. You know, and they were viewed and identified by these individuals. And I always initially used Apple products, and I have some Android stuff and some Windows stuff, but mostly Apple. And not because I'm necessarily a fanboy, but, you know, it was much easier to identify with an Apple product and visualize Steve Jobs and what they stood for versus Microsoft. And now, having watched this series, and it's a really good series, it's definitely worth checking out. So again, on Netflix, it's Inside Bill's Brain. It's like they had so many opportunities to really show the human component of Microsoft and what Microsoft does, what Bill Gates does as a representative of Microsoft. They missed so many opportunities. So it's cool to hear that they're transforming that. And they've got a long way to go, in my opinion, because I think if you ask most people to use words to describe Microsoft, and this is regardless of age, I think you'd get, you know, it's an okay product. It's kind of stodgy. It's kind of, like you said, binary numbers, pocket protectors. You know, you got to use it. It's not fun. It's not engaging. It's not exciting. Whereas what you might say Apple, and it's like, it's cool and it pushes the envelope. And it's creative. And they've got a great story to tell. So it'll be cool to watch and to see what they do and how they do it to try to make that transformation.
Well, and it's a personal brand like Mary Rodriguez, mm-hmm. who's getting out there and humanizing the Vulcans.
Absolutely.
Yeah, quite literally.
Yeah. If you'd watch this documentary, Bill definitely has a particular way of interacting and thinking. But he is way more human than I ever would have given him credit for. I mean, and that's the thing is like, why didn't they share that? I'm not sure why, but it'll be interesting, like you said, with people like Mary leading the charge to try to help people see Microsoft as a group of people, not just as this corporate entity, what she and the other storytellers will be able to do.
Well, and I don't want to be too much of an armchair psychologist, but if you look at it, you know, at the beginning, it was Bill Gates and Paul Allen. Paul Allen was absolutely, you know, leave me alone. Don't ever want to see the light of day, which, you know, he was a billionaire, didn't have to see the light of day. But then Steve Ballmer came in and he was a sales guy. Mm-hmm. And this is my beef with sales. Sales guys are about what it takes to make a sale, as opposed to what it takes to make a relationship.
Yes.
Now, good salespeople will always strive to create a relationship first, because if you have a relationship, you can have a lifetime of sales transactions. But some salespeople are all about just make the sale, just make the sale, just go kill, hunt and kill, hunt and kill, hunt and kill. If you're building your personal brand, you can't be a hunter and killer.
No.
You need to be a farmer. You need to go out there and you need to constantly pull weeds and plant new crops and nurture those crops, et cetera, you know?
Yep.
And I think the farmer-hunter analogy comparison is really apt, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to building a personal brand. You have to plant seeds to begin.
Absolutely.
And it could take a couple of years or more before people start saying, hey, I know you. You're the guy who is all about X.
Yep.
Yeah, because it's going to take a while for people to find that out. But you planted the seeds. And right now, a lot of people are planting zero seeds.
Yes.
And that's the problem.
Then they plant seeds when it's too late, when they're like, oh, crap, it's October and we need to have some food for the winter. Well, you know, it's like I get this with my students a lot where it's like, oh, I'm 3 months away from graduating. Now I'm going to start throwing my resume out to everybody I can and put up a basic LinkedIn page with as minimal stuff as possible. And I just need a job. It's like, well, companies can tell that that's all you're looking for. And they don't want to hire somebody who wants just a job. They want to hire somebody who wants to be at a company and has the probability of staying there longer term. And there are ways to speed up. So if I put more seeds in the ground or I have more land to plant on, I can grow my base of food faster. So if I take the time and I spend a portion of time every day on social nurturing and starting to begin to build and get to be known on social, I'm going to be much better off in the long term. And it's going to speed up the process versus somebody who posts or interacts once a week. You know, I actually just had this conversation in my classes this week and they said, well, what's the best strategy to get going? Because we're dealing with LinkedIn now. And what the students started out with was Twitter. And they found it was very easy to make initial connections. And then LinkedIn, they're really like, things aren't going nearly as fast. And explain, well, it's a different type of crop. So it takes longer to build relationships and quality relationships on LinkedIn because it's a more guarded social network. The culture is different. And I said, the way you get known is super simple, in my opinion. My tactic is go and comment and interact with a lot of other people's content and give thoughtful, helpful feedback. And you'll become known as the person who's this like fan slash follower who really cares about providing value and, you know, not just, hey, you did great. Love that DP, but saying, hey, DP, I really liked the post you had because what I got out of it was XYZ.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
Well, let me give you an example of that. Pelpina Trip is a Dutch video-oriented person who's on LinkedIn a lot talking about video, how to do it, how you can do it, how to build a personal brand using video. Here's what I use. Here's the camera. Here's the tripod. All this stuff. Mm-hmm. She's building from the Netherlands a global brand on creating videos, both live and recorded and edited and things like that. I've followed her for a long time silently, mm-hmm. getting information, seeing what she's doing. And then all of a sudden I started saying, like, she'd throw out a question and say, my favorite selfie stick is this for these reasons. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite? Well, I posted in, commented back saying that I like this one for this reason. And I use this software. Have you ever tried it?
Mm-hmm.
She comes back in a conversation with me saying, no, but I've heard about that. I'll have to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else in the comment feed was, oh, cool video. Great job. Yes. That was interesting. Yep. She asked a specific question, which was, I think it was something like, what tools do you use, hardware and software, to create video?
Yep.
I answered her question,
exactly.
Which was, here's the software, here's the hardware. Have you tried it? And by the way, have you tried it was a question back to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
The goal is to create not a comment, but a conversation.
Yes.
So subsequently one has, and I am building a relationship with a woman in the Netherlands. Mm. And I've asked her if she'd be on the podcast and she said yes.
Very cool. That's a great example.
Would she have said yes if I said, hey, I have a podcast, you want to be on it? She might have said yes. If she were smart, she would, because you know, it helps build her personal brand. Yeah, if I have an audience of one, it's still valuable, maybe not as valuable. But because I've created somewhat of a relationship with her, especially a man talking to a woman, I hate to put it in this terms, but if I just came at her with a question like, hey, baby, come on my podcast.
Yeah. And there's people who do that, which is really sad. With my students, I've had that experience. And but you know, getting back to that idea of the farming, I think, you know, getting started with farming, the first thing isn't you put seeds in the ground. It's that you prepare the soil. Going back to the last episode where we talked about your friend who was a soils major.
Right.
You know, you prepare the soil. And the way you prepare the soil is you identify people you want to engage with, companies you want to engage with and interact with. And you target them by listening to what they're talking about and then give thoughtful feedback. You just comment and interact. One of the other simple tactical tricks that I use, and it's not a trick, it's a tactic that is, I know so many people, one of my favorite quotes of all time is from Maya Angelou. And she said, people won't remember what you said or what you did, but they'll remember how you made them feel. And there are so many people who put out amazing content, and the things that they almost always hear or remember are the negative, you know, somebody saying, well, I don't agree with you on that. So what I'll often do is I'll just send out a video message or a voice message on LinkedIn directly to them. And I'll say, hey, DP, this is Don Stanley. I've been following your podcast for the last 2 years. Just want to let you know, it's my first time commenting, but I've learned so much. And what you've done is you've really helped me understand better how to use personal brand within my company. And it's really helped me a lot. So I just want to know, maybe you hear it a lot, maybe you don't, but I just want to say thank you.
Do you know what that would do for someone like me, for anyone? It would be, we're now friends.
100%. And that's the most basic strategy. So like, again, as kind of a slipping into tactics here, that's what I do with people when they're getting started with video. If they're afraid to be on video, I say, just shoot a 20-second thank you video, because the person is not going to care how you look or how you sound. They're going to care that, wow, somebody recognizes that what I'm doing is valuable. Thank you. And they're going to remember your name. They're going to remember your face. They're going to remember your voice. And so, you know, you could even do it. The strategy that I teach is just do a thankful Thursday, where you just, every Thursday, you send out a video thank you. And it could be a direct message, so nobody ever sees it. It could be posted on a social network, however you want to do it. But if you want to plant seeds as a farmer and add some Miracle-Gro and really start putting some energy and growth into that, it's a super simple strategy to start building that. Because then you become known as the person who, and again, we're talking about being real here, so don't be blowing smoke at people, but you're known as the person who made me feel good.
Well, and the thing that people, anybody listening to this podcast right now, I'm going to be totally authentic with you. I don't know if anybody's listening to my podcast. I don't know if anybody likes it. I don't know if anybody is sharing it or quoting from it or gleaning valuable tips from it. Why do I not know that? Because nobody's telling me. There's a kind of, is anybody out there feeling for anybody doing social media? And the only way you know that someone's out there is if those people chime back in. And by the way, those people who do contact you or let you know they're watching or sharing it with a friend, or, you know, including you on, hey, listen to a great podcast by at DP Knuten, you know, on an Instagram post or something. I see that and I'm like, oh my God, someone is listening. Thank you so
absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. And it makes a huge difference, because one of the things that I think drives a lot of the mental health issues that we have today, and I study this a lot on my own, this isn't something I do academically, but I'm just really fascinated by it, is that we are missing human connection. Brené Brown talks about this. Mark Schaefer talks about, tons of people talk about it, that we've got this epidemic of mental health issues. And I think a lot of it has to do with, a lot of us go through life feeling that what we're doing isn't valued by anybody. Yeah. And it isn't like we walk around moping all day, but it's like when somebody takes the time to say a genuine thank you, it's like that doesn't happen very often. And when somebody does that and says, wow, DP, thank you so much, and here's what it meant, and it can be just super simple, it really allows all those neurochemicals of human connection, what goes back to the start of us as a species, to fire off. And it builds these relationships that allow us to, again, be known as that person who, hey, when I walk away from that person, whether it's, you know, digitally walking away after seeing a tweet or a LinkedIn post or whatever it is, I feel better. You're going to want to follow that person's content versus somebody who doesn't give you that. And that content doesn't need to be anything, like I said, other than putting out comments to people. And, you know, so for people who are like, I don't feel really confident putting out my own original content at first, just put out that thoughtful comments and thoughtful thank yous. And then eventually the tactical piece that I teach is, once you get used to doing those little thank yous, start doing a thankful Thursday type post every week where you make a recommendation of a book or a podcast or an individual to follow. And you explain why, and that becomes your original content. And you say, hey, this week I have a podcast I want to recommend for you, and here's why I want to recommend it. And then the next week you say, hey, here's a video that I want to recommend, and here's the person who did it. And then again, you're building this profile of somebody who leaves me feeling better and is doing kind things and really is having an impact. And I get that a fair amount from people who follow me, as they're like, well, it's cool to meet you in person. And you're kind of carrying yourself how I thought you would be, and you're just nice.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, because there, you know, there, to me, there isn't enough of that in the world, but it's just like, you know, giving somebody a genuine, simple interaction, you know, a mindful interaction really can make a difference. So kind of thinking about that as you start, if you're starting out building your personal brand, or your personal brand is stagnant, start to look for opportunities to jump into those commenting. When the example you gave with the woman from the Netherlands, answer the questions that they have, you know, and then I love what you said. I would not have thought of it, but it's super brilliant and simple when you think of it, is respond where there's a question.
Hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Anne Hanley, said, this isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts. Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
I'm going to package everything you just said under a concept I came up with and I teach. It's called make every comment a conversation. Mm-hmm. And there's a technique associated with it that I had to create a mnemonic device. I can never say that word. But I had to come up with a memorable way for people to remember what it means to take a comment from a comment to a conversation. And I came up with an acronym, ARAT, a rat. Make sure there's always a rat in your comment. And the A stands for appreciation. Thank you, Don, for that cool thing that you posted. Recognition, the Don, the at Don Stanley in your case, or whatever the person's name is. You want to tag them with their at tag.
Yes.
Why? Then they're notified of the comment. Mm-hmm. So appreciation, recognition, Addition is the second A. You have to add to the conversation in some meaningful way. And then the T is task or takeaway, which means I'm asking you a question, which is a task. I'm giving you a task. Answer my question, please. I'm giving you a takeaway, which might be, I've actually created a downloadable PDF on this very topic. Would you like me to send you the link? Which is a combination of takeaway and task, which is, I've created something of value to give to you for free.
Yep.
I'm asking you whether you would like it. How many people are going to say, no, I'm good?
Yeah.
They're going to say, oh, I would love to see that. I respond to that comment saying, hey, that's great. Here's the URL where you can download the free downloadable PDF. Yeah. By the way, everybody else in that comment stream is seeing the link to the free thing.
Brilliant.
Is this mercenary? Yeah, a little bit, but it's a mercenary with a heart of gold.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I love that. I love rats anyway, but now I have a further appreciation for that.
Exactly. Make sure there's always a rat in your comment.
But what I love about that is, you know, with even with the mercenary comment, you know that people who are in that thread could benefit from what you're offering. And this is where, you know, you have to think of, if you can offer something, this is ethical sales to me, that can really benefit people, let them know it's there.
You know, and by the way, the thing may not be my product.
Yeah.
It might be a recommendation. Like I just did this on a group that I'm on Facebook of Australian podcasters. Why am I in an Australian podcaster collective group on Facebook? Well, because one of my friends said, hey, you should be in this group.
Yeah.
Someone posted a question about, hey, do you know of any podcasts about podcasting?
Yeah.
People were chiming in. All I did was say, check out Mark Asquith's The Podcast Accelerator.
Yeah.
Period. The person saw it instantly. Thank you. Other people are throwing in comments about that. It wasn't me selling myself. It was me helping someone else.
It's all it is.
And referring them to someone else.
That if you look at the greatest salespeople in the history of the world, they are people who helped people. And this is the classic Zig Ziglar quote, but it goes way back to ancient times. If you help enough people get what they want, eventually you'll get what you want. And it really is that basic. And I love that example because you jumped in there and you said, hey, here's something I think is of value. And especially for people who are new and might not feel confident about sharing their voice, they might think, well, personal branding is about putting a spotlight on me. And I hear this
or
once
I
a lot.
Or I have to be an expert.
Yeah. And it's like, no, all I'm doing is saying, hey, have you heard of this? Have you checked this out? You know, I think that type of, hey, just adding to the conversation and offering value where you can. And everybody has some level of expertise in some area. And it could be, you know, I always like to say this about Oprah Winfrey, because Oprah's one of my favorite humans. I love her. I love her stuff. I love what she did. She had so many things going against her, and the positive impact that she has had is incredible. But Oprah was nothing other than an interviewer.
Right.
She curated who to bring on the show. And her staff curated who to bring on the show and then curated questions.
And she brought her personality, her legitimate personality. Everybody fell in love with her or hate her because of exactly who she is.
Yeah. And I know so many people who absolutely adore her. And it's because this is where it's kind of like going back to that Goldilocks thing you were talking about. She exposed some of her own challenges because a lot of people will think everybody else has their crap together and think that nobody else struggles. And she talked about her weight issues and, you know, it was like, oh, wow, this woman who has all of these resources and all these things, she struggles too.
Well, and the whole thing is she's addressing something everybody sees.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, we've seen her really thin, really big, really thin and yo-yo up and down.
Yep.
We're already talking about it or we're thinking it in the dark parts of our brain. Yeah. If she just comes out and says, listen, I've got a problem with
this.
Oh my gosh. Just recognizing the truth of who you are.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, if you don't know Brené Brown, you haven't listened to Brené Brown, I highly recommend starting out with Brené Brown's first TED Talk and then listening to her second TED Talk. I require that with a lot of my students and clients. But you learn about how that type of authenticity helps build real human connections. So for example, the other day was Domestic Abuse Awareness Day and I wore purple. Purple's not the color that I don't look great in purple, but I wore it and I posted a picture on social and I said, you know, I'm wearing purple today because it's Domestic Violence Awareness Day. And a couple of people reached out and said, oh, thank you for doing that. And I didn't realize, you know, because they asked a little bit and I said, yeah, I grew up in a pretty tough household. And
yeah,
it changed the conversation of, we didn't get stuck on that, but it was just like, oh, I didn't realize had some other human experiences as well. And it allowed us to have deeper conversation.
Well, it turned your post from a bumper sticker, hey, let's all be aware about domestic violence, to a, oh, mm-hmm. You've been affected by that.
Yep.
Like one of the things that I'm semi-passionate about, I guess I'd say, is organ donation.
Yeah.
Why? My younger brother died far too early, and yet he lives on in four other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That to me is just the greatest gift you can give.
Absolutely.
But guess what? If I say, sign your organ donor card,
yep.
People go, bumper sticker. If yep. I say, my brother lives on in four other people,
yeah, absolutely. And that's the human experience that we all have, is that everybody has struggles. And this is where, as we move into the next year and I'm thinking about things I want to add to what I do on social for my own personal brand, I'm kind of noodling over this last quarter of this year, is how do I bring some of those elements into it to start to humanize more and more and make people who follow or connect with me less afraid of sharing some of their human experiences. And again, it's not a tell-all necessarily, but, you know, highlighting things like when I watched that Bill Gates Netflix episode and he started talking about why he became so passionate about the issues that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, what they're working to address, it really helped open my eyes to he really cares about people at scale.
Yeah.
And I would have never thought of that. And you hear him explain why things that he is working on and his foundation is working on and how they work on it with polio eradication or access to clean water or whatever it is, it makes me much more likely to buy a Microsoft product yep. now. So, you know, so I think that's just something to think about. Again, I think Brené Brown is probably my favorite person to check out on that topic, because she can weave together very effectively, because she works with so many big businesses and small businesses and businesses. She works with military special operations. She works with banking industry, you know, industries where you wouldn't think that type of content could be used in some way. And it sometimes that content's just used internally to build rapport within the teams of people who are a part of the organization. But I'd highly recommend checking that out as a start to see, you know, how can you bring that in?
Well, let's put a period on the end of that sentence and say, here's another huge takeaway. Pick one meaningful person. And I second your call to follow Brené Brown. She's brilliant studying vulnerability, the psychology of it, and all that stuff. Plus, she brings the math on that stuff because she's a researcher.
Yep.
So it's not just a feel-good opinion.
Yep.
It's really well-founded.
Peer-reviewed academic PhD.
Exactly. But my point about Brené Brown is pick her and then see who she follows,
yes.
who she communicates with, who's communicating with her, who is she responding to? Because a person that she is responding to in a comment chain or in a conversational way, if Brené Brown is having a conversation with someone in a comment chain,
yep.
it's indicating value transfer.
Yes.
I'm getting something valuable from you. So it's a form of curation.
Yes.
I'm not going to respond to everybody who says, hey, great post.
Yeah.
But I will respond to people who say, great post. I like this part of it. Do you have any other ideas about blankety blank? Yeah. Of course I'm going to respond to that. Yeah. There's value exchange happening there.
Absolutely.
So you can tell who's valuable to Brené Brown by who she talks
with. 100%. Love that. And the other thing too is, as you follow, this is an example that happened this week, is for a variety of reasons, Brené Brown's work has been literally life-changing for me. And this week she posted that she never got the dog thing. So on Facebook, she put out a post of her with a dog. And I'm like, wait, Brené, how you lost street cred with me if you're not a dog person. But then she goes on to explain how she has since become a dog person.
Right.
And the comments were there's some incredible interaction in the comments, even just amongst people in the commenting section, even if she didn't jump in.
Right.
So I love your strategy, but to take it, if you want to nuance it another level, is to see who's really active on the comments. And maybe you can make connections with some of those people because you have a shared interest.
Yeah.
Dogs and Brené Brown in this case. But yeah, I love what you just said, because that gives you an indication of who is she hanging out with and who are those other people that she might, you could make potential connections with, that learn from, connect with, grow with, that can provide value. Because again, you know, you have this shared interest in the content of what she talks about how dealing with vulnerability and shame can make you better in business. It can make you a better spouse, a better parent, a better friend, all of these things. So love that.
Well, what a great conversation with Don Stanley, a instructor at the University of Wisconsin Life Sciences Communication Department here in Madison, Wisconsin. I always love conversations with you. I want to sum it up by saying that a lot of conversation is happening in social media about content marketing. Mm-hmm. And that can be really hard for people to wrap their heads around. You mean I have to create all these videos and stuff? I'm saying, no. Forget content marketing. Do comment marketing. Yeah. Market yourself via comments, just like this. And the other thing I wanted to say about your earlier comment about preparing the field or preparing the soil before you start planting seeds on social media, a big way to do that is make sure your LinkedIn profile is a complete picture of you. Because the first thing I'm going to do when I see a really thoughtful comment from you, I'm going to check out your profile to see if you're legit. If there's no photo there and no description of who you are, what you do, and how you do it, and I don't care if you're a student. If you're a student, just say you're a student. I'll go, yeah, you're a student. We can have a conversation. But if you are on Twitter, it's an egg, you know, a profile without a picture, it's an egg. On LinkedIn, it's just a silhouette of an icon silhouette. I'm going to assume that you could be a bot. You aren't interested in doing this deeply. And I have no idea who you are, so I'm just going to pass on. But if you show me, there's a picture of you right next to Bucky, the mascot of the UW Wisconsin, I'm going to go, we've already got affinity there.
Yep.
You know, but prepare the soil before you start planting seeds by filling out, completing your LinkedIn profile. So there you got that. Do your LinkedIn profile. Forget content marketing. Start comment marketing.
Love that.
And also, when you're thinking about personal brand, think mama bear. You want it just right. Not too much information, baby bear, or I say nothing, papa bear. It's got to be somewhere in the middle.
Yep. Love it.
Well, that's about it for this week. I'm DP Knutton with the Nonfiction Brand Podcast and Nonfiction Brandversity. And he is
Don Stanley.
And Don, I know I'm going to have you back in the future, probably a couple months from now, because our conversations always, I'm looking at the clock right now and we're at 1 hour and 3 minutes for what should be 2 25-minute episodes. So I'm just saying we got plenty of content here. So thanks so much. Everybody, I hope to see you around on the podcast or at Nonfiction Brandversity, the free Facebook group. That's it for now. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.